Ladies and gentlemen, this morning, again, we want to welcome you to the White House Family Devotions. And we thank so many hundreds of you who participate live and then particularly on demand. Maybe we have many people who rise later than we do, but that's okay. They can still, because of the internet, can still participate on demand. And we thank God for you. And we pray that this would inspire you to have family devotions in your house, minus us. And this is the way we do it. There are many other ways to do it. These things have been gathered over the years and has been a great benefit to my family, and particularly my children, who are all, in the words of Charles Stanley, still on my team and helping me in the ministry, every last one of them, even though they're doing great things otherwise in their own lives. And so we thank God for His holy word and His faithfulness. Colin Campbell said, "Family devotions are something that the devil does not like because they threaten his kingdom." And he's so right about that. Therefore, he does whatever he can to discourage and finally put a halt to family devotions. And maybe this is no doubt what happened to your family. You started out having family devotions, but the devil torpedoed your family devotions. Anything that has anything to do with prayer, the devil is going to send massive bombs to destroy it. He'll get you out of sorts with one another for no reason. He'll make you hate each other and have bad attitudes towards one another. And it's very hard to pray with that kind of spirit. So don't let the devil destroy the most important thing in your life, family devotions or family altar, whatever you want to call it. He goes on to say, family devotions must be seen as imperative and absolutely essential to both the physical and spiritual well-being of our families. And I say to that, and I'm sure that you will join me, amen, amen, and amen. Holy Father God, we thank you for your holy word this morning. We thank you also for the wisdom that you've given people to emphasize family prayer, something that I didn't read a book on when I started my family by your grace, or you started this family by your grace over 30 years ago. And I never read a book on it or anything like that, but you led me to lead my wife in prayer. Oftentimes, of course, as you know, she went to sleep on me. But I led my wife in prayer until we started having children. And then we led, my children do not know a day that their father has not prayed with them. And I know I never had that experience. I didn't learn it from my home growing up. You taught me this. You led me to do this. And I thank you for it. Now, Lord, you're helping us to help others to get back to the old-time family altar, the old-time family devotions. And no matter what's going on, no matter how people feel, no matter how wound up they are in their emotions, Lord, they need to get together and pray together. And then the husband and wife need to get together in other ways, no matter how they feel, no matter what they think, no matter how bitter they have grown. These things will help bring them closer together in a very powerful way. Prayer and marital relations will help keep the family together. And so, Lord, we don't want to be so heavenly minded. We are no earthly good, and we don't want to be so earthly minded. We're not any heavenly good. So, Lord, help us to live a balanced life. It's not one or the other. It's both and. And we pray that you'd crush and crucify our flesh and the old man within us, and help us to stop the foolishness in our marriages and in our families, and do it your way and enjoy the life that you've given us in Christ. Fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit to love right, live right, think right, do right, and act right, and have the right attitude and the right perspective. We don't need PMA, we just need your Holy Spirit to dwell in us and to control us. And we need to stop walking in the flesh. We cast all of our cares upon you today because we know that you care for us. And we pray for the salvation of those who are lost, and help us to be a shining light and a witness that you want us to be in this dark world. And we pray that millions would hear the gospel, and that millions would come to know you as Savior. It is the power of God unto salvation. And Lord, if it can save my wretched undone soul, who said with my own mouth I wanted to drive the bus to hell, it can save anybody. And Lord, so we pray that Christians would get back to on the firing line, and help us to pray without ceasing, and help us to on purpose witness to other people, even if we can't do anything else but pass out a gospel pamphlet. And Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would take that gospel pamphlet and turn people's lives around for your glory and save their souls from sin and hell. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen and amen. Now, beloved, if you would, pray with me the common prayer, an old English prayer. I have modified it for our needs today. And if you mean it, God will hear it. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have sinned and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done. And there is no peace and joy in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy pardon me, upon us. Thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us, miserable offenders. Spare thou us, O God, who confess our sins, our faults, and our failures. Restore those of us who confess our sins and repent, according to thy promises, declared unto us in Christ Jesus our Lord, and grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Our devotional passage from the Word of God, the Bible, is Psalm 21 this morning. The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation. How greatly shall he rejoice! Thou hast given him his heart's desire, and has not withholden the request of his lips, Selah. For thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness, Thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head. He asked life of thee, and thou gavest it him, even length of days forever and ever. His glory is great in thy salvation. Honor and majesty hast thou laid upon him. For thou hast made him most blessed forever. Thou hast made him exceeding glad with thy countenance. For the king trusteth in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High, he shall not be moved. Wow. Pardon me. Verse 8, thine hand shall find out all thine enemies. Thy right hand shall find out those that hate thee. Thou shalt make them as a fiery oven in the time of thine anger. The Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. Their fruit shalt thou destroy from the earth, and their seed from among the children of men. For they intended evil against thee. They imagine a mischievous device, which they are not able to perform. Therefore shalt thou make them turn their back when thou shalt make ready thine arrows upon thy strings against the face of them. Be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength. So will we sing and praise thy power. And the church said, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, Matthew Henry, who no doubt wrote one of the greatest devotional commentaries ever. God really used him. He wrote in his commentary regarding this passage, happy are the people whose king makes God's strength his confidence. Oh, how fitting that is today. And God's salvation his joy, who is pleased with all the advancements of God's kingdom and trusts God to support him in all he does for the service of it. All our blessings are blessings of goodness, and our owing not to any merit of ours, but only to God's goodness. Amen, somebody. The psalmist teaches us to look forward with faith, hope, and prayer upon what God would further do. The success with which God blessed David was a type of the total overthrow of all Christ's enemies. Those who might have had Christ to rule and save them, but rejected him and fought against him, shall find the remembrance of it a worm that dies not. My God, help us. Beloved, this praise is a very fitting passage this morning, for our president is in trouble, and the only way he's going to get out of it is putting his faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and in Almighty God. And because the hounds are after him, there's no doubt about it. When you have a shooting of a representative and other people, by the way, we thank God for the brave police officers who risked their lives to save many, many lives. And they happen to be, by the way, two black police officers who showed up and showed out, and they saved many lives. We thank God for that, and we need to pray for them, for their injured and their families, as they are impacted by this. And then you have an announcement on the same day that the President of the United States is under investigation in just the first few months of his presidency. for obstruction of justice. And so we need to pray for the entire governmental system and pray for everybody involved, for we're living in perilous times. Holy Father God, we understand today that we're not living in a Caesar's play. This is real, and people are being shot and almost losing their lives, and one person may lose his life, badly injured. And so, Lord, we pray for our government, we pray for our governmental leaders, and we pray based upon your holy word. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Excuse me. Holy Father God, we pray for President Donald Trump. We pray for salvation, spiritual life, and family blessings upon him. We pray for wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and insight that you would give him, and discernment, and help him to be quiet and to trust in you and to act with wisdom in everything he does. We pray the same blessings upon Vice President Mike Pence, First Lady Melania Trump, Second Lady Karen Pence, Presidential Aides, Director of Oval Office Operations Keith Sheila, leaders of federal agencies, Federal Election Commission Chairman Stephen T. Walther, State Governors, North Carolina, Governor Roy Cooper, City Mayor, San Francisco Mayor, California Mayor, Edwin M. Lee, U.S. Senators and Representatives. We pray for salvation, spiritual life, and family blessings upon these people. We pray for their protection, and we pray that you'd rebuke and bind the devil from their minds, and give them all wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and insight to lead their respective areas, taking care of their citizens. We pray for Indiana Senator Joe Donnelly, and we pray for gentleman, the representative who was shot yesterday, and others. We pray for the police officers, and we pray that you'll heal their bodies and comfort their minds and comfort their families as only you can. We pray that you'll lead all of these people to Jesus, for oftentimes trouble has a way of helping people to understand they need you. And so, Holy Father God, we pray for police chiefs, such as San Diego, California Police Chief Shelley Zimmerman. We pray for sheriffs, Harris County, Illinois Sheriff Ed Gonzalez. And we pray for all law enforcement officials across this country and around the globe, this Secret Service, as well as the Capitol Police. And Lord, help us to include them on a regular basis. We pray for the leaders of nations around the world. Azerbaijani President Ilham Aliyev and Prime Minister Artur Rasaed. And we pray that you would lead, guide, and direct them as well. And Holy Father God, we pray for church leadership in this country. We thank you for some resolutions and some positive things that are taking place in the Southern Baptist Convention this week. And we thank you for the fact that they are going to emphasize evangelism again, understanding that if they win souls on G Street, if they witness to souls on G Street, somebody on G Street may not come to church, but you have a way of having people to come to church from 8th Street. So we thank you for how you do that. We don't understand it all, but if we're just faithful in witnessing and preaching, you will draw the people in the way that you see fit. And so, Lord, we pray that you'll bless that effort in the Southern Baptist Convention. We pray for the church leadership now of the National Baptist Convention of America Incorporated. We pray for President Samuel C. Talbert. We pray that you would revive them again and use them to be the evangelists that you want them to be in their communities. We pray that revival would break out and that millions of souls would be saved through their ministry. We pray for the sad current events that are happening around the world, for we're living, as you've told us in your holy word, in perilous times. We pray for the families of 12 people killed and over 70 people injured in the Grenfell Tower fire in London. We pray that you would comfort these people as only you can by your grace. Nobody can touch them like you can. At the same time, Lord, send the people who have the gift of mercy to help them get out of this terrible situation and through this terrible situation. We pray for the recovery of those wounded in a shooting at congressional baseball practice in Alexandria, Virginia, for the protection of all elected officials, safety, protection, provision, and deliverance for Syrian citizens who continue to suffer in the middle of a civil war. But it's not in the headlines anymore. We pray for the return of stability to Venezuela, resolution of shortage of food and essential products, families, and so that this won't spread across the region. We pray, Lord, for families of over 700 people who have died from cholera outbreak in Yemen. And we pray for that you would comfort these people as only you can. We pray for over 100,000 who have been infected. We pray for their healing, and we pray for their salvation. We know that, Lord, you're not willing that any should perish. And, Lord, I pray that you would help us as Christians to stop worrying about the talking points of the White House and of the Congress and do the talking points that you've given us, and that is to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with a dying and lost world. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for the comfort and protection of the persecuted Christians around the world. And Holy Father God, now we pray for prayer requests that have been sent to us directly here at Gospelite Society International and Gospelite House of Prayer. We pray for Jean de Doe. Please help him to become a good Christian and a preacher, if that is your will. We pray for Jordan, for his wife, to open her heart and surrender her life to you and to your will for healing and restoration of their marriage, for all generational curses and ungodly soul ties to be broken in their lives. We pray for Esther, for your anointing to be on her and her husband. Bless their ministry and help their school to grow. Bless their nonprofit. Be with their son who is in college. We pray for Iggy Muno. Help her to come to know you as Savior. And Lord, have your Holy Spirit not to give her rest until she comes to know you as Savior. We pray for Aja. Please take them out of the homeless shelter they are in and give them a good house they can afford and enough money to pay the bills. Please give her a job so she can take care of her children. Lord, we pray for Marie. Please save and protect Marie Dean and her family. Provide them with a new house to live in as well. We pray for Adriana. Please heal her of the tumors in her body. And Lord, we pray that you'll heal her in a miraculous way. We pray for Seema. Please prepare him for a government job and clear his mind and deliver him from worry and fear and anxiety. We pray for Christopher. Please bless and provide for him, the orphans, his family, and church members. Turn all the people in India from idol worship toward you. Please provide the orphans with clothes enough, food, schooling, educational material, and money for medical bills. We pray for Rose. Please heal her, Pastor, and heal her of panic attacks and fear, and give her peace of mind, joy, gratitude, faith, and hope. Help her to be the person you want her to be. Lord, I know that you will do that for her. We pray now for justice. Please provide money for the artificial leg that he needs. And Holy Father God, we pray now for the people who have trusted you as Savior through Gospel Light Society Ministry and Gospel Light House of Prayer. Help these to grow in the faith and be the Christians you want them to be. We pray for Margaret, Josephine, Lynette, Joyce, Nia Garissa, as well as Eric and Thomas. We commit these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives and in ours. And we pray also for the people who have recommitted their lives to you through this ministry. And we pray that you'll help these to grow in the faith and be the Christians you want them to be, and to stand strong and not to falter and not to fall back into the world again. We pray for Wayne. We pray for Danette. We pray for Sylvester. We pray for Suleiman. We pray for Tammy. We pray for Moffitt. And we pray for Joni. Lord, help these to stand strong, and we commit these souls into your hands and ours as well. Let your will be done in our lives. Glorify your holy name. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Our devotional reading today is titled, You Are Not an Accident. You Are Not an Accident, Part 2. From The Purpose-Driven Life by Dr. Rick Warren. In our devotions, in our family, I have already read this book to my children. I did not need the book when it came out, because God had already taught me all of those things. But devotionally speaking, spiritually speaking, this is an ideal book for your young people, your children, maybe starting at the age of 12, 14, whatever. You need to read this book to your children so that you can expound upon the principles in this book. And you say, well, you think Rick Warren is a great man. No, I don't think anybody is great. I really believe that Rick Warren was blessed to write this book, as a reward to his father and to his grandfather and his great-grandfather. He just got the, because they were faithful, he got the blessing to write one of the most popular Christian books, if not the most popular Christian book besides the Bible ever written. I think it has surpassed Pilgrim's Progress, or it is right up there with it. So this is a great book that you, sir, ma'am, need to read to your children to give them a great foundation and understanding of what life is all about. Be that as it may, let's read for today. Because God made you for a reason, he also decided when you would be born and how long you would live. He planned the days of your life in advance, choosing the exact time of your birth and death. The Bible says, you saw me before I was born and scheduled each day of my life before I began to breathe. That's God for you. You're not an accident. That ought to comfort your heart. Every day was recorded in your book. God also planned where you'd be born and where you'd live for his purpose. Where you're living right now is exactly where God wants you to be for right now. And you are not to move until God leads you to move. Amen, somebody. Your race, whether you're black or white, your nationality are no accident. You say, preacher, wouldn't you like to be white? No. I love being black. I love being black so much, I married a black wife. She's from Jamaica, but she's black. And she got some Chinese in her as well, and some white folks and everything else. But she's black. And I have black children. I prefer a black car, and if I had the money, I would blacktop my driveway. I love being black because God made me black. And I love black people, but I also love white people and red people and yellow people. And they all races have been good to me. And be happy and content the way God made you. Amen, somebody. God left no detail to chance. He planned it all for his purpose. The Bible says, from one man he made every nation, and he determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. Nothing in your life is arbitrary or chance. It's all for a purpose. Most amazing, God decided how you would be born, regardless of the circumstances of your birth or who your parents are. God had a plan in creating you. It doesn't matter whether your parents were good, bad, or indifferent. God knew that those two individuals possessed exactly the right genetic makeup to create the custom made you. Amen, somebody. They had the DNA God wanted to make you. What a beautiful thought. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you that we're not an accident, that you made us for a purpose, and that purpose is to glorify your holy name with the gifts and talents that you've given to us uniquely. Help us to do it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, beloved, before I leave you, as my calling first and foremost is an evangelist. I am not a pastor. That's not my calling. So therefore, I'm more concerned about your soul getting saved from sin and hell, not just encouraging you. So if you happen upon us today, and you might be a church member, but you're not saved, you're not born again. I was in church all of my life, lost as a goose in the Kentucky Derby, lost as Jesse Jackson in a Ku Klux Klan meeting, lost still, but I was in church, singing in the choir and doing things in the church, but lost, never saved. You may be that way. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The Bible also says in Romans 10:9-13, these are the two verses that stood out to me on the night I got saved, December the 19th, 1979. I said, "That's it?" I said, "That's it," to Michael Lewis. I mean, that's all you need to do to get saved? I thought you had to join the church and shake the preacher's hand, and the doors of the church were open, and you had to get baptized, and you had to do the 12 steps and everything else to be saved. He said, "No, that's it." He said, "This is it." Romans 10:9, that if you shall confess with thy mouth, your mouth, the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's it, folks. It's not hard. Why would our loving God make it hard for such wretched and ignorant people as we are? It was hard for him. It was hard for Jesus, but it's not hard for us. If you want to call it easy, that's fine. We have some folks who have a problem with that. It is easy to be saved if you simply believe on Christ. So, dear friend, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today if you want to be saved from sin and hell and have a new life, a beautiful life of purpose. and to fulfill how God made you. If you are willing to trust Christ as your Savior today, if you're believing in your heart right now that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried and rose again, please pray with me what is called the Sinner's Prayer. Michael Lewis helped me that day when I got saved by helping me to pray, leading me in prayer, and I'm willing to do that with you since this is your first time. Follow me in prayer now, phrase by phrase, meaning it from your believing heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a wicked, undone sinner, and that I've done bad things in my life. Lord, even though I am a professional person and a person who's been in church all of my life, I know how wicked and evil I am. And I know the sins that I've committed. And according to your word, I deserve eternal punishment in a place called hell. Please have mercy and grace upon my soul. And please forgive me of my sins, because I now believe in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to change and to repent of my sins past and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, beloved, in closing, if you just trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, the Bible, you are now saved from sin and hell and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. And I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is simply believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, for Jesus Christ paid it all. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.